The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I was just trying to imagine what it would be like if you were a family member of someone missing in that condo collapse down in Surfside, Florida. It's just hard to imagine what it would be like. Trying desperately to hold out hope that your loved one could still be found alive, and yet realizing that hope is It's just about gone. It's been a week. It would be nothing short of miraculous. And miracles do happen, but it would be nothing short of miraculous if anyone was found alive. And then, as you probably know, at about 2 o'clock this morning, the rescue efforts had to be halted. There was some movement in the debris. And engineers on the site declared that it was unsafe for the rescue workers to continue working. That was about 2 o'clock this morning. And as we speak, as of just a few seconds ago, the work has not begun again. They're evaluating. Of course, they knew that the work was incredibly dangerous anyway. But at 2 o'clock this morning, there was some shifting, some indication that the rubble could move significantly and cause harm to the rescue workers, so it has ceased. And again, imagine if you're a family member and you're watching. You can't go, you can't do anything, but there are hundreds of people and they're digging through the rubble and you're hoping that your loved one will be found, and then it stops. It's just, it is hard to imagine. And that's why we need to pray for those folks. President Biden has made it to Surfside today. Now, his detractors and folks, in a conversation I had with a caller yesterday, and it was a very kind conversation, but it was part of the conversation was, well, we got to start operating on their rules, and I'm talking about the liberal left. We got to start doing what they do. And my response was, no. We cannot become like them. When Donald Trump was president, it didn't make any difference what he did. The liberal left criticized him, made fun of him, rebuked him, disagreed, but it didn't make any difference what he did. He could do no right. Everything he did was wrong. And you know that. That was the liberal left, the mainstream press, and so forth. And it was wrong. It would be wrong for us to do the same thing with Joe Biden. Are you listening to me? Give credit where credit is due, criticism where criticism is due. There have been a bunch of conservatives criticizing the president. He should have been there sooner, should have been there sooner, should have been there sooner. His response is the same that several presidents have given. They didn't want to go create a circus with the press, the Secret Service, that would detract from the rescue efforts and would put more stress and pressure and grief and sorrow on the families. I agree with that. I have no problem that he waited until today. If he had gone in the first 24 hours, the whole story would have been about him and not the victims and not the rescue efforts and so forth. So I have no problem with his decision. And love him or hate him, he is very good at communicating one-on-one with individuals. And he said his main purpose to be there was to assure the rescue workers and the people in the state of Florida that every federal resource that could be available would be made available, and then to comfort the families and to encourage the rescue workers. From everything I can gather, he was exceptional at that. He's good at that. I think he's a terrible president. I think he's terrible at policy, but he is very good at expressing concern. Now, again, his detractors, well, it's phony concern. I don't know. That's not for me to determine. That's not for me to judge. He can be an extremely sympathetic individual. And from the reports that I have heard and read, he did an exceptional job of comforting the families. Evidently, there was a large room. Family members of those victims in this collapse were gathered, and press reports have indicated that he took enough time that he went to every single table, talked to every single family member, and provided comfort. Good for him. When Donald Trump was elected president, I made you a promise. When he did something praiseworthy, I would praise him. If he did something worthy of criticism, I would criticize him. I think I kept my promise. I made the same promise with Joe Biden. If he does something praiseworthy, I will praise him. But, hey, like I said, we're not going to become like them. I think what he did today was good. It was received well by the families, the government authorities. He spent quite a bit of time with Governor DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis and Joe Biden are obviously political adversaries. It's very possible that Ron DeSantis will be running for president on the Republican ticket in the next presidential election. So they are fierce political rivals. They sat next to each other at a table. They discussed what was going on. They laid aside, both of them, laid aside their political differences. And they talked about how to deal with this incredible crisis. Good for Governor DeSantis. He didn't take it as an opportunity to criticize the president. That's not what it was about. Good for President Biden. He didn't take it as an opportunity to take jabs at Governor DeSantis. It was an illustration of what American political life can be and should be. And for that, we can be thankful.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
I don't know what we're going to do if the Supreme Court makes any more common sense constitutional decisions. What are we going to do? Elections do have consequences, folks. And the appointments made by Donald Trump are going to impact our legal system for many years. Now, granted, we have been deeply disappointed in every one of Donald Trump's appointments at one time or another. Okay? We have. None of them, none of Donald Trump's appointments have not disappointed us in one decision or another. But overall, what a change in the United States Supreme Court, coming in lines with constitutional principles. And as I said, that impact is going to last for years unless the Biden administration is successful in packing the court. And by year's end, yeah, they're going to try that. I certainly hope that they're not successful. I don't think they will be. But if that does not happen, we're going to see more and more rulings like this one. In fact, actually, two of them, the Arizona Supreme Court decision that I referred to earlier, the Supreme Court ruled that the new law in Arizona to tighten election rules regulations ruled it's constitutional. And then this one, the state of California, I don't know, this was 2 or 3 years ago, mandated that charities in California, including churches, were required to submit to the state of California the names and details of their larger donors. Okay? Now, of course, the state of California promised, we won't make this public. It's just for our use. Excuse me, it's none of your business. Who gives? How much they give? Whether John Jones gives $10 or Ben Smith gives $500 million. It's none of your business. This is charity. And the chilling effect was obvious. I mean, here is a person who is a conservative. And they want to give, let's say, they want to give $500,000 to, well, let's say a local church in California. They're a conservative. They want to give $500,000 to a local church. If they knew that the uber liberal government in California knew who they were and how much they gave to that church, do you think that would have a chilling effect? Of course it would. Well, anyway, let's see. I'm trying to think who brought the, was it the Alliance Defending Freedom? Let me see. That's nothing. Americans for Prosperity Foundation and the Thomas More Law Center. Okay. Americans for Prosperity Foundation, the Thomas More Law Center, took this to court. Lower courts ruled in favor of the state of California. They kept taking it. It finally went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a California law requiring nonprofits to reveal the names of their major donors to the government is unconstitutional. Not only is it unconstitutional, they said it is facially unconstitutional. The vote was 6-3. Now, the vote would have been different without the Trump appointees. Now, again, I don't want to make too much of that. I don't want to make too little of it either. The three most liberal judges took the dissent in the case, but 6-3 decision that the state of California has no right to demand the names and the amounts of contributors to nonprofit charities, churches, and so forth. That's good, good, good news. Now, this is not good news. And I think I have just enough time to deal with it before the bottom of the hour break. A brand new poll, brand new research, a nationwide poll, indicates that more than 25% of people who attended religious services at least once a month before the whole pandemic thing have, quote, no plans to return to their church, synagogue, or mosque. Zero. 25%. These are people that before COVID went to church or a synagogue or a mosque on a regular basis. Now, you can almost rule out the mosque because the Muslims are going to go. For the most part, Muslims are much more fervent in their religious duties than Christians, and Jews as well. But across the board, 25%, and these are people who regularly attended church, say, I'm not going to go back. Now, here's the tragic thing. Those same people said that they are looking forward to reconnecting with friends, family, quote, shopping for fun, going out to eat, etc. They just don't want to go back to church. Hey, we go back to the mall. That's great. We can go out to eat. I don't think I'm going to go back to church. Folks, listen. Don't be one of them. I have said this repeatedly now for quite some time. It is time to go back to church. Now, if you have some medical condition and you would be compromised, hey, I get it. I understand. But otherwise, it's time to go back to church in person. Now, if you still feel that you need to wear a mask, fine. That's okay. That's not a problem. That's a decision for you to make. But it's time to stop sitting home and watching on TV or on your computer, unless there's some reason why you can't go to church. A medical reason, physical reason, a handicap. Okay, that's fine. If not, get up, get dressed, and go back and fellowship with other believers. That is God's plan. We need that fellowship with other believers. Go back to church.